Hey, good morning, Babylonians. It's another bright, sunny 80-degree day here in the beautiful city of Babylon. Sunshine and birds sing. It's time to get up, get out of bed, and get going about your day. To help calm some of those nerves about today's to-do list, here's one of the best tunes from one of the best harpists this side of the Chebar River. That's probably what the radio sounded like on that day. Everybody got up, stretched, walked outside, and voila! There it is again, that massive 90-feet tall statue that eclipsed the sky and cast a larger-than-life shadow on the ground. That statue seemed to dwarf everybody and everything in Babylon. Once it was finished, people came from near and far just to gaze at it. The king built it because he wanted people to adore it, but it went a little bit farther than just adoration. At one point, he demanded worship. Suddenly, the people's gaze was interrupted by a herald's cry. The sound effects are free on Simplify. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. At the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, and the sackbut, arguably the best instrument in all the land, and you hear the rest of the band, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. It sounds simple. Hear the music, bow the knee. But it wasn't so simple, because there was a group of three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who believed that there was no God worthy of worship but Jehovah. So they were not going to bow to an image no matter how gold or how grand, because this image, unlike their God, could not hear or help. But just in case anybody had the bright idea to stand when they should bow, the king clearly spelled out the penalty. They would be arrested on sight and thrown into a raging, fiery furnace. If awe did not motivate them to bow, surely fear would. So did they bow? Good question. We're going to find out right after this. You're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to The Other Side of Faith on Simplify. Once everybody gathered at the base of the statue, they struck up the band, a symphony of flutes, trumpets, harps, sackbuts, all playing together in perfect harmony at the dedication of the statue. And right on cue, everybody bowed down to worship the statue. Well, everybody except three. There were those three pesky Hebrew guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who were not unknown in Babylon. They were in charge like many of the other leaders. But they weren't like the other leaders. They stood while everybody else bowed. And when they did, they must have stood out like scarlet in Ann Arbor. Within minutes, some of the other higher-ups ran to the king like a toddler to a teacher, and they tattled on the three. Said, listen, king, live forever and all that stuff. Hey, there are three Hebrew guys causing a ruckus, and I know they can hear the music, but they're not bowing. The short guy's even tapping his foot. And the king's Cheshire grinned at all the people who were willing to worship the statue that was dedicated to him. It turned to rage. He slammed his fists on the throne.
Well, you bring those men here right now.
That's the VeggieTales version of Nebuchadnezzar's voice. I'm sure it was a little more intimidating than that. Those men winded through the worshippers until they came to the three guys still standing. They nabbed them, they brought them front and center, and now they had an audience with the king. And the king says, boys, I'm going to give you one more chance, because maybe you didn't hear the music or maybe you didn't hear the penalty. But if you bow the next time you hear the music, you live. But if not, you die. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? You're about to meet him. I'm amazed at these three. They didn't hesitate or hem-haw or stutter. They just simply looked at the most powerful man in the then known world and replied, we're not careful to answer you. We don't have to think about what to say or carefully craft it in a politically correct way. The God we serve, he is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing. It takes an ocean full of faith to stand a few feet away from a raging, blazing furnace from which no one has ever escaped and tell the most powerful man in the then known world, man, your furnace ain't nothing. Our God is able to deliver us from you and from your fiery furnace. But they didn't know he would. They didn't have a vision or a dream or a word from the Lord or a prophecy. They didn't even have the Bible. All they had was faith that God could, but they didn't know if he would. They didn't know if God would rain down fire to burn off the ropes that bound them. God could play with fire too. Maybe God would rain down hailstones the size of boulders to crush the furnace to powder. Or God could freeze everybody and allow the Hebrew boys to escape. Or God freezes the furnace and lets them ice skate on the flames. They didn't know what God would do. They didn't know how God would do it. They just knew He could. Faith isn't always knowing how God will. It's just knowing God can. Now, if that was easy to remember, we could just check that box and move on. We wouldn't need an episode like this. But sometimes it is difficult to remember there is an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God who loves us, who sees us, who's only one prayer away from helping us. But just because we know He can see us, that doesn't always mean we can see Him. But we do see the hospitals, and we hear the fighting from the other room, and we hear the sirens. And in times like that, we forget that Jesus is so much greater and so much higher than all of that. We need to remember what the Hebrew boys never forgot, and that is our God is able. I'm sure there are some of you listening to this, you're having a hard time right now trusting God. Maybe you're disappointed in Him because He didn't answer your prayer like you hoped He would, and you're going through some tough stuff, and you don't know how it's all going to turn out, and you know God could snap His fingers and change it all right now for you. But you're worried. You can hardly worship because you keep wondering how it will all turn out. Well, if that's you, you need this word from God. You need to be able to say with all the faith you can muster in your heart, "My God is able. My God is able to heal us from every disease, every disorder, every sickness. Your God is able to deliver those who are battling with addiction. Our God is able to get parents the job they need, able to put groceries in your fridge when there's no money in the bank. God is able to mend a broken marriage. God is able to break every chain, open every door, forgive every sin, save every sinner. Our God is able. We don't know how He will. We just know He can. I certainly don't know how the story will end. I just know He's able. And we often define faith as believing God will always answer our prayers, but this is the other side of faith. This is the darker side of that two-sided coin of faith that understands God does not always answer the same way we want Him to. And this is the part of the nature of God we never like, we rarely understand. It's called the sovereignty of God. It's where we trust God to do what He wants, not what we want. And the God who could do anything sometimes seems to do nothing. But in those times when God says yes, we give thanks. And in those times when God says no, we still give thanks. So the next time you pray for somebody to be healed and you hear they passed away, what do you do then? You still give God thanks. Because the other side of faith is not doubt, it's trust. Trust that God knows what He's doing, even when we don't. That was all the king needed to hear to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego alive into a burning fiery furnace whose flames were so hot it actually killed the soldiers who threw them in on contact. But when they got in the furnace, they found out they were not in there alone. The God who could have delivered them from it met them in it. And that was enough to cause King Nebuchadnezzar to see that there is no God but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. I know God can deliver us from everything. I know He can give us an easy, cush, comfy life from now until Jesus comes. I also know He can keep us through everything. And so whether God delivers you from it or walks with you through it, just know what they knew. He is still God, and He is still good. I'd like to pray right now for those of you who are going through some things. Maybe it's family, maybe job, maybe the economy, maybe you're worried about the nation, maybe you're worried about the world. Whatever it is you're dealing with and going through, and you've been praying for the Lord to help you through it, I want to pray for you that God would give you faith to be able to say as they said, "My God's able, but even if not, I will still trust Him to do what's right." Lord Jesus, we come to You in great faith today because I have seen You work miracles. I have seen You work wonders. I've also seen You stand, as it were, silent when I prayed and I didn't see You answer the prayer like I hoped You would. And I'm sure all of those who are listening, they can testify to the same. But today we trust You. We trust You like the three Hebrew children trusted You. We believe You like they did, that You are able, but even if not, we still trust You. We still walk with You. God, I pray today, give us the faith, give us the strength to trust You more, to believe You, to put our lives, our futures, our families in Your hands, and to believe You will always do what's right. We love You, God. You are good, You are faithful. You are merciful. And I pray you'd help every one of my listeners out there that they would look to you and trust you, and you would show them your faithfulness, either from or through whatever trial they're going through. I pray this today and give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to Simplify. I really do hope this has been a blessing and a help to you. Hopefully it's encouraged your faith, and hopefully you'll be able to share it with somebody who may be going through a tough time right now and let them know God is for them, even if they don't realize it or see it. We are only 4 episodes away from hitting our 100th episode from just 2 years of recording Simplify. This has been such a blast for me, and I want to thank you for making Simplify part of your devotional walk. I think we're going to hit a couple of milestones around the same time. We're going to get close to 50,000 downloads right around that 100th episode. So I'm looking forward to 50,000 downloads, 100 episodes, and continuing what God has started with Simplify. Please do share this with others. Let them know about it. You can also let me know what you think of Simplify, if it's been a help to you and a blessing in your walk with God. You can find me on Facebook. My name is LJ Harry. So you can find me at lj.harry or Instagram, Twitter, Parler, LJ and Andrea, LJ A-N-D-A-N-D-R-E-A. There's a 52-week devotional that I wrote a few years ago that launched this podcast. And if you would like a copy of that, you can pick that up at PentecostalPublishing.com, or you can pick that up at Amazon. You can get it for Kindle. And I know it will be a blessing and a help to you. It certainly won't replace your devotional life because it's only a weekly devotion, but it can be an accent or help to augment your devotional life and help you walk closer with Jesus. My dear friend, Lieutenant Andy Burns, and I have launched another podcast. It's a monthly show called The Preacher and the Policeman. And on that, we tell a few stories. Of course, we change the names to protect the innocent, even those proven guilty. And we do our best to mix in current events with the gospel and add a heaping helping of humor. So if you're looking for another podcast to help cause you to laugh, even cause you to think, those episodes drop every Monday. So you can find that wherever you listen to this podcast. It is called The Preacher and the Policeman. Next week on Simplify, I want to share with you a story Jesus shared about two builders and what that all means to us. Looking forward to that next week, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.